Well, one thing I will say about that word, because this is something I pray for myself, and it's in the Psalms. I always pray, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. And so when he was praying that for me, I was thinking back to the things that I've prayed for myself. Because with my God, I can do anything. With your God, which is the same God as my God, it's our God, we can do everything he has called us to do. And so the thing I'm going to speak about today, and I have a word for the Vineyard Church, and that's everybody who's present here, a scripture that came to me about this church. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. You know, when I was driving up here, I was thinking, what a beautiful island. The sun was shining, the trees seem extra green, and everything just seemed extra. And I thought, that's the way God sees us. When we're in Jesus, he sees something a little extra, something more in us. He sees what we can become, and he sees what we can do through him. And the great thing about God is he is an equal opportunist. Anybody who calls upon his name and asks Jesus to be their savior, he does accept, he never rejects. And so, and the more we get to know him, the more we get to know ourselves, and then the less we get to want to know ourselves, and the more we want to get to know him. Hallelujah. So this is the scripture that I thought for today for the Vineyard Church. So Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. One thing I will want to say, when Pastor Terry was praying, he used to be my pastor. When he was praying for me, I was thinking, when he said that at the end, we have to pray for ourselves that God gives us eyes to recognize God opportunities. We need eyes from the Lord to recognize what is an open door from the Lord. Because the devil can use good things too, but God uses good things. Remember, Eve fell because she wanted to eat from the tree of good and evil. But God is going to do good things and open good doors, and there will be good fruit and fruit that remains. So I pray for myself and every woman here, because the word was spoken to woman today for this moment, for this time, that we would have God eyes to recognize open opportunities, open doors, and we would not let God opportunities slide by. God does not inhabit fear. He inhabits boldness and courage, because that's how he causes us to be. But it's in love, and it's in mercy, and it's all those things that we need to become because of Jesus. And he refines us as we keep on going. We'll always win if we don't quit. So the thing that we're still here is the thing that we're a success, because we haven't quit. Many times I've thought to quit, but I hear the Lord say, continue on, continue on. That's what we have to do. No matter what happens, we continue on with him, because he's the reason we are who we are going to become. We live and move and have our being in him. We're in him, but he's in us. And so we want to see and do everything he wants us to do. We don't want to miss out. I don't want to stand at the end of my life and say, wow, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that. Oh, if I could have only done that. But God wants us to do all the things he's called us to do. You know, John said, I can only give what's been given to me. That was Jesus and John's ministry. They could only give what had been given to them from the Father. We can only do what's been given to him through what's been given to us through him. So the more we know him, the more we'll know what we're called to do. And the more we won't miss every opportunity he wants us to have. I've missed some opportunities, and I regret it. But I said, no more, Lord. I want every opportunity you open. And you know why I missed an opportunity? One time it was a big opportunity. I missed it for fear, and I missed it because of an offense. And I thought, no more am I going to miss something because of fear and because I'm offended. Because when I die, Christ lives in me more. And so I don't want to miss any more opportunities. I want to go forward in the will of the Lord, in the power of the Lord, and in the anointing of the Lord, and not miss out. And so I pray that for every one of us here, not only women, but men also, that we would not miss God opportunities. In Jesus' name, amen? Okay, so let's get to the message here. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in all his joy, went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of greater value, or great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, we all know that when we accept Christ is just the beginning. And he requires a lot of us, a lot of from us. And one thing I think he requires that we struggle with is time. If you want to do something with God, for God, through God, and because of God, you're going to have to spend some time with God. Sometimes we want a fast food God. I want this, give it to me, I receive it. But you know what I found when I've studied the great men and women of God? Everybody that has something from God, it's because they did something through God and spent time with God. It takes something to be something who God created you to be. But I believe we're coming those people of God. Because the Lord told me a couple days ago when I was asking about the vineyard, he says, I want my people to know me more personally every single day. It's great. I love church. Church won't ever end. I love church. I love being in church. And you know what? I can say my two kids that are here will verify that. They spent many a night in church services. not just one Sunday or one time a week. I went to everything, sometimes four or five times a week when the meetings were gone. I wouldn't miss. I had to be in church. I love church. But church is not Jesus. Jesus uses church. But Jesus now is taking us, and I'm thankful for church. I love it. I love meeting together. But he wants us every day to be in that place that we get fed in church. He wants us every day to know him more. As I drive to work in my car, Jesus is with me. As I'm at work, Jesus is with me. As I leave work, Jesus is with me. When I'm with people, Jesus is with me. When I'm by myself, Jesus is with me. And he wants us to become more aware of who he is in us and who we are in him. And so when I looked at another version of the Bible, I looked at the commentary in the bottom, and I always thought of us giving up everything for Jesus. That's what he requires. But then this said, the meaning could also be that Jesus is the purchaser who gave his all to secure the kingdom. Jesus gave it all for us, right? So he purchased everything so that we could be in his kingdom. When he died, you know, he did say, it's finished. It's a done deal. It's no more. I've done everything I need to do to secure my people in my kingdom. There's not another thing that Jesus has to do. Nothing is left undone. He did it all. It is finished. And so I believe the more time we spend with him every day, the more we're going to really acknowledge that. Okay, so the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. That's what I felt for this church at this time today. And now, another thing I felt for this church at this time, this day, is something Jesus said. As we seek him on our daily basis, he said something to us, and it's in Hebrews 13:5. He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, so then I thought about thinking of that word forsake. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Okay, so I look up the word forsake, because that's just how I am. I like to know, okay, I'm not always in the Hebrew and the Greek, but I'm into the dictionary. So I go to my computer and I put in forsake. Okay, now this is what that means. To give up or leave someone or something entirely. Okay, what is Jesus saying? He said, I'll never give up or leave you. I won't ever give up on you. I won't ever leave you. I'll never give up on you. And then I thought, okay, he's saying more than that. So I look up other words. What else is Jesus saying that are like those words? I'll never abandon you. I'll never desert you. I'll never leave you. I'll never quit you. I'll never disown you. I'll never reject you. I'll never withdraw from you. I'll never cut you off. I'll never renounce you. I'll never neglect you. I'll never ignore you. And I love this one because we used to say it when we were kids. I'll never ditch you. Jesus is saying, you know, friends, hey, he ditched her. Jesus is saying he'll never ditch you. He'll never ignore you. He'll never abandon you. And, you know, I think if we come to really that simple little revelation that we're born again, something is going to come out of that. We're going to be more secure as people of God. Do you know part of jealousy in the church is because people are not secure who Jesus made them to be. We're going to be so secure in who we are in Christ. Okay, he'll never disown us. He'll never reject us. The Bible says if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. You know, sometimes you want to be friends with something, and no matter what you do, you just can't draw near to them. No, not so with Jesus. When we draw near to him, he'll always draw near to us. He's always willing to be with you. Any time of day or night, he's always got an open phone line. He's always got, you know, you are always on his mind. He's always available. And I think that he's wooing us and he's drawing us because he told me he wants to be known. He wants to be known. He's looking for people to know him. Wow. We don't have to strive to know God. He wants to be known. And so I was thinking as we go apart our daily lives, I was thinking of this scripture too, Isaiah 43. And this is one of my favorite scriptures that I've used for myself over the years. Somebody once prayed it over me, and I didn't even know what it meant at the time. Now, I know it's talking about Israel, but I like to think that it can be for us too. Because the Old Testament was written for our instruction. You know, I see Father God in the Old Testament as such a loving father. I always hear people say he's so harsh, but really, I see him as a loving father. I would not, as a person, put up with half of the things Father God put up with his people. And he still loves them. God still loves us. We can get tired of people. Oh, they can drain us. But God won't ever be drained by your problems. Isaiah 53, verse 2. When you pass, okay? Pass is the key word here. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass, when you go through something, I'm with you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. Confidence. Do you know, when I preach, I feel such a confidence. But to be honest with you, in my personal life, I struggle with confidence. And I said, God, all I want is your, well, that's not all I want. But God, I says, I want your confidence. The authority I feel when I preach your word, I want in my daily life. And you know how I'm going to get it? By spending more time with him. By spending more time with him. Because I've had people try to overrule me in such a terrible way and make me feel like I'm nothing. And I thought, why is this going on over and over and over again? It's because the simplicity of the gospel and who I am, Christ, the devil's trying to take. I forgot that I was born again. Okay. When you walk through the fire, you'll not get burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. When you pass, that doesn't mean that you're not going to pass through things. What it means is as you pass, it's not going to overtake you. No matter what happens, how are you doing? You may feel like you're going through the fire, but you won't get burned. The rivers will not sweep over you. The waters will not overtake you. For God is our Savior, the Holy One of Israel. Jesus, he's always available 24/7. God wants to be known. Now let's go to 1 Peter verse 1. I was thinking of 1 Peter. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. Just because I read it a lot because it's short. Sometimes I feel like, oh, I've got to read the Bible. It's not a chore. It's a privilege. I like reading the Bible, and every time I read it, I love it. But, you know, sometimes there's hindrances that will keep you from reading the Bible. So then I always pick something short to feel like I've done something. But no, it's a privilege to read the Bible. You know, it's a privilege to come to church here. It's a privilege that we can worship. It's a privilege that we have a place to come. We got to recognize and be thankful, people. One of the keys I know of moving forward is to be thankful what you already have. You know, I'm so thankful that I'm saved. I'm so thankful I can go to church. I'm so thankful that you said you'll never leave me. You'll never ditch me. You'll never leave me behind and go ahead. You always want to bring me with you. I'm so thankful that there's Christians on this island. I'm so thankful for churches. I'm so thankful for a worship band. If you haven't been in a worship service for a while, you're thankful you can worship. If you haven't been in a church for a while, you're thankful you can go to church. If you haven't been around Christians for a while, you're thankful when you can openly talk about the Lord. I know we're supposed to talk about the Lord with everyone, but hey, there's something special when you talk to with a believer to another believer. Okay, so 1 Peter verse 1, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Okay, I'm in 1 John. That's why it doesn't look familiar. I was thinking, okay, I got to say that again. 1 Peter. Okay, here we go. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth. You know, I had to think about that for a while recently. I've been given a new birth. You know what that means? I've been born again. I've been born again. I've been given a new birth. Think about it. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I've been born again. It doesn't matter if you've had a bad childhood or a good childhood. When you receive Jesus, you've been born again. I've been born again. You know, I just started thinking about that. I've been born again. So when something tries to creep up from a long time ago, I can dwell on it, or I can say, hold on here. I've been born again. I've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, and I've been taken into the kingdom of light. There's only two kingdoms, people of God, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. But you've been born again into the kingdom of light. And I tell you, that's one thing that people have struggled with that I've met that have been born again when they haven't been little, but when they've been older. They battle with still letting to go that things happened with them years ago. But I tell you, people of a God, you've been born again. Receive it. And you know what? You're going to have to receive it with a bit of oomph, because the devil knows if you believe it or you don't. But you've been born again. I forgot that. Pastor Barry, I forgot I was born again just a little while ago. And all of a sudden, I got up one morning, I had to shake it off. Hold on a second here, I've been born again. Wait a second, I'm in the kingdom of light. Hold on here, the blood of Jesus has triumphed in my life. Hey, wait a second, I'm on the winning team. I'm a success. It doesn't matter what people think about me, it matters what you think about me. Jesus, you're triumphant, therefore I'm an overcomer. We got to talk to ourselves. We got to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We got to lift our heads up high and praise him. Why? Because he's worthy and he's the one that sets us free. And whom the Son sets free, they shall be free indeed. Hallelujah. I feel like when I was down in Oklahoma, they talk so much back to you. I was thinking, do these people even listen to what you're saying? Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen, amen. I thought, well, did they hear anything I preached, or were they just amening everything? But no, us Canadians listen in silence, but we're listening. So we need to really know him, because you know what? I can say the words, but I got to believe what I'm saying. But sometimes the more I say it, the more I believe it. You know, people can pray for us, and it's wonderful. I love it. Bring it on. Bring it on. But you know what will really change? When you really believe it. When you believe it, you will change. Okay, so 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you've made had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine. Wouldn't it be great if everything just went our way? Amen. Wouldn't it be great if we just had that faith and we didn't have to ever test it? Like it was just downloaded to us. We just had the faith. Can I just be real? We all want things to go perfect. We can't stand it when there's trials. And you know, but the trials prove what's inside of us. You know why? It comes out of our mouth. God's looking for praisers and not whiners. Okay. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Now, this is what I thought for you guys. I just thought of the scripture and I thought of the vineyard. Though you have not seen him, you love him, people of God. Even though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him. We're believers. You love God. You're God lovers. You believe in him, and you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your salvation. I think I might need glasses, but I'm praying for healing. I'm not giving into it, but I'm like, I can be healed. I'm believing for it. Okay, with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, it's great. We all say we're saved and we loved it, and we know there's an army of angels rejoicing when we're saved, but then we get kind of boggled down with life. But people of God, let's go back to the simplicity and the beginning of what it really means to be saved. We're born again. That means new chances, new opportunities, new ways of looking at things. We're born again. We're born over. It doesn't matter what you've gone through. It matters what you're going to become. It doesn't matter. Okay, but these are for distance, Justine. I use these for driving. This is my problem. I don't want to get, what are they called? Not bifocals, but transition glasses or something. I'm staying away from them. So I just use these for reading, but thanks anyways. I mean for driving. But we are receiving the goal of our salvation, the salvation of our souls, our mind, our will, and our emotions are saved. They've also been born again. They've also been born again. Not just our spirit, but our soul, our mind, our will, and emotions are born over. So what happens? The devil tries to trick you that you're not in the kingdom of light, that you're still in the kingdom of darkness battling everything. But no, I tell you, you're in the kingdom of light. You've been born over. You've been born again. But you know what I think? That we suffer a little bit as Canadians. I can say for myself and people I met over the years, we're lazy. Can I just be real? Can I just be honest? We're lazy. We're lazy at reading the word. We're lazy sometimes at battling. Sometimes it's easier to think the way you've always thought than change. It's just sometimes easier to go into your old pattern. It's almost like you're secure in the way you used to be. But change means change. It means that you're not going to stay the same. It means that you're changing. And you know what? I always thought that change was great till the Lord started to change me. And then can I tell you, people of God, it's a struggle. It's a struggle to become who God wants you to be. But I believe he wants to be known. Why? so he can change us. Why? Because he wants to do something. He always wants to do something, and he is always doing something. But are we tapping in to what he's doing? This is what I'm starting to realize. God, you're never stale. You're never bound. You're never limited. Now I got to become who you want me to be so I can tap into what you're already doing. See, I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out when God wants to do something that I'm still thinking about myself, not realizing I'm born again. Okay, now let's just turn to, I wanted to finish too. Chapter 1, verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. You know, we have been purchased with blood. And the Bible calls Jesus' blood precious. It's precious blood. It's life-giving blood. It's transformation blood. It's life is in the blood. And we've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. Think of in the Old Testament, all them sacrifices, the rivers of blood. There must have been blood everywhere at some points. Blood after blood after blood. We've been purchased with the blood of Jesus. I'm reading a book on the blood, and I thought, Jesus, not only did I forget I'm born again, but I forgot your power in your blood. There's power in the blood of Jesus. And we've been purchased with it. You know why we got to spend time with the Lord? Because the enemy wants us to forget how powerful he really is. The enemy wants us to forget how powerful Jesus really is what I meant to say. He wants us to forget that we're not born again. He wants us to forget that we're still struggling here by ourselves in the natural. No, we always have an advocate. His name is Jesus Christ, and he is always with us. We're born again. We're in the kingdom of light. It's time for us to hold our head up high and realize we are on the winning team. We are a success. We're going forward. We're not going backwards. We've been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And nothing can take that away from you when you've been born again. If you can't be thankful for anything, be thankful for that. Okay, so one more scripture before I do something. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, I was going to say I was going to end, but I thought, hold on here. It's only my first ending. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, these are familiar scriptures, but let's go back to the familiar scriptures we know, and let's take them again, because they're ours. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Now, this is the one I want you to really remember. A people belonging to God. People of God, we belong to someone. We belong to Jesus. And when the devil's after you, I belong to Jesus. Hey, he bought my life with his precious blood. I belong. When you're feeling neglected, I belong to Jesus. When you're feeling alone, I belong to Jesus. When you've made some wrong decisions, Jesus can turn them for good because I belong to him. He's a successor. He's a winner. He's always for you. He's never against you. And you know what? We got to stir ourselves up with those things. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if every time I thought something negative, I would say something positive? So I started to try and do this, and it's hard. But you know what? We are life-giving people bringing life to one another because Jesus is bringing life to us. He wants us to be uplifted and realize we belong. Just that simple truth that I'm born again, that I belong, it can't be taken from you, people of God. It's secure. It's a revelation, but it's the simplicity of the gospel that will change you. Sometimes people are looking for deep revelations. Hey, I'm just looking for the simple truths to be real in my life. Come on, Jesus, who are you in me? Who are you? I used to pray this prayer all the time, and I stopped praying it. And then I heard this speaker a while ago on the TV. I only caught like 5 minutes of it. But he was saying this prayer, and then I had to go. So, but I thought, man, I used to say that every day. And it's Ephesians 1:17. And it says in that prayer, I keep asking that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me. See, I can't give you if it first hasn't been given to me. You can't give to someone if it first hasn't been given to you. So it's very important to pray for yourself. Yes, you pray for others, but you can't be effective unless you've been prayed up yourself. Amen? I keep asking. So that means it's not a one-time deal. It's not that I ask one time and then no. I keep asking that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that what? I may know him better. I pray that also that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that I may know the hope to which he has called us, or me, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saint and his incomparable great power for me who believes. See, there's an inheritance. And you know what? It's like Jesus has so much to give us. He is waiting for someone to take it. And how are we going to take it? We're going to take it by revelation, by knowing him, by being with him, by spending time with him, by reading his word. Sometimes it's not the devil, it's the TV. It's me, the TV, and the Bible. And sometimes the TV wins out. Sometimes I just want to, it's like I just want a holiday. But no, you go into that word and you are refreshed daily. This is life. Jesus says he exalts his word above his name. I keep asking that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ will give me the spirit of wisdom. We need wisdom. Wisdom is God's way of thinking. Don't you get tired sometimes of the way you think? Yeah, hey, I heard amen over there. Thank you. I'm with you, brother. I know. I'm tired of the way sometimes I think. I'm tired of the way sometimes I see people. I'm tired of the way sometimes I'm doing things. I get sick of myself. And so I say, Jesus, I need your way of thinking. I need the spirit of wisdom. God, give it to me so I can know you better, so I can be changed. God, if you did it for him, you'll do it for me. If you did it for her, you can do it for me. Guess what? God will do it for anybody who calls upon his name. But I prayed this for many years and I stopped. And then I thought, why did I stop? This is such a good prayer. I keep asking. That means it's not a one-time deal. Keep asking, keep asking, keep asking. You know, time is really a victor too. Because as long as you continue on with him, you change. It's like you don't even know when it happens. It's like when I used to work at 7 o'clock and I'd look out the window and all of a sudden it would turn from darkness into life and light and I didn't even know when it happened. And the Lord told me that's the way it is when you're in my spirit. You change and you don't even know when it happens. You're just with him. And it changes. All of a sudden you're changed. And then you'll meet people who used to know you, who judged you, tried to put you back in the box, but that's okay. Just pray for them. Because if God is not a man, man can't limit you. And he's not a man, he's God. He's unlimited. I just want to end with this quick illustration that sometimes happens to us. So Jordan and James, could you come up? I just spoke to them for like 5 seconds because I hope they can remember the instructions. We just do it on the fly. Okay, so you stand there. He's Jesus. Okay? And these go this way. They were over there. Sorry, I forgot to tell you that. Okay. Okay, and so you're going to get on this side. Okay, I know Jesus is in me and I'm in him. I know that me and Jesus are together. But sometimes, because of the way things are in our life, we begin to feel distance from Jesus. So I would say the first thing that distances us is laziness. I don't read my word as much as I should. I don't spend time with him. And I go to church on Sunday and I feel good. And then when I leave, somebody says, what was the service about? You can't remember. Have you ever been to one of those good conferences? It was so good, you can't remember any of it. Is it just me or what? It was such a wonderful service. What did he preach on? I don't know. Do you remember? We got to tune and incline our ear to the things of God. Okay, so laziness. So we don't read our word enough. We don't pray. And it's almost like we feel a little bit distance from the Lord. But then we feel kind of bad we're lazy. To be honest with you, we feel bad. So we still don't do it. We feel so bad we don't change. You ever been there, people of God? And then we get distracted with work. You know, if you work 8 hours a day, sometimes you're tired. Any workers in the house? Hallelujah, good tithers. You know, we work 8 hours a day. We get home. Sometimes we're tired. We just want to veg out. We want to spend time with the Lord. We're lovers of God. We respect him, we honor him, but we don't spend any time with him because we're tired. So then we've got laziness and we've got being tired because of work and maybe some lack of sleep. Somebody been not being able to sleep enough? That can tire you out. Okay, then along comes laziness, working. Well, when you work and when you're tired and then just life in general, you get a few problems. Any problems in the house today? Things don't always go the way you want them to go. Now, we're still in Jesus, I know that, but we start feeling distance from Jesus who's in us. We start feeling distance. And then we feel so distance, then comes the thing we really got to battle. The enemy wants to take you back before you were born again. So then he starts infiltrating your mind with all thoughts and how bad you've had it, how nobody's been there for you, and how does prayer really change things? Doubt. So we got laziness, we got work, we got problems, and all those things open the door because you're not spending time with the Lord for doubt and the enemy to take you back in your mind. You know, there's that book by Joyce Meyer. I read it years ago. And I recently just found it, The Battlefield of the Mind. Now, I can't remember what was in the book. I read it years ago. But I tell you, the battlefield is in the mind, people of God. Can I just be real? We got to read the word why, because the battle's in our mind. And I'm not going to be able to think differently if I don't even know what's in there. Oh, I get happy myself. I don't know. Okay. But then, you know what? You just decide one day that you want to draw near again, even though he's still in here and he's never left you and you've never left him, but you've become distracted from him, so you feel far away from him. You decide you want to draw near to God. Well, you know what? It's very easy. He won't ever ditch you. He won't ever neglect you. The Bible says if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. So one day you just start, take it away. Shamarabara, Jesus, I love you. God, I want to come back to you. Jesus, draw me back to you. Lord, you said that I'm born again. You said that you'll never leave me or forsake me. You're in me. You're always with me. It's not hard, people of God, but we put up these barriers away from him. But they're very simple. As one morning day of prayer, we can take them all away. But you see, the enemy makes us believe that it's so hard to get to God again. It's not. It's as simple as opening your mouth and saying, Jesus, help! Jesus, thank you. I need you. Jesus, please. I can't even remember any scripture right now, but I know your blood purchased my life and I belong to you. So come, help me. I live in a condo. Can you believe it? It's very hard. I think I said it up here last time. I go, Jesus, help. What am I going to do? Oh, did they hear me downstairs? And my son wears his earplugs and listens to worship music all the time. And I thought, that's what I got to do because I miss listening to loud worship music sometimes. You know, Jesus is so near. All he's asking of us is to draw near to him. We can be changed. And you know what? You have as much of God as you want. You want more of God? It's very easy to get more of him. And so, the very end, I just wanted to pray this one prayer over you. And then I was wondering if we could just have some celebration music. Just to celebrate. Is that possible? Okay. Just that we could celebrate the very fact that we're born again. I'm happy I'm born again. I'm happy I have a God to go to. I'm happy that when I call upon him, he won't ditch me. I'm happy that he won't neglect me. I'm happy that he's always there for me. I'm happy he can change me. And I'm happy that he wants to change me. I'm happy that I'm in him. I'm happy that he's in me. I'm happy. I'm joyful. And if you don't feel it that way, you say it over yourself. It's just like when you have to forgive. Sometimes you don't feel like forgiving, but you say, I forgive, I forgive, and eventually you forgive. Well, it goes the same way with joy. It goes the same way with being happy. You know, I'm joyful. I'm thankful, God, that I am born again. And so I just want to read this one prayer. I wrote it down here over you guys. It's in Hebrews 13:20. I hope this was it. Because I write things down and then I think, nah. Then I thought, no, I'm going to use that. Yes, this one I want to pray over the Vineyard Church today and anybody else here at the sound of my voice. Just before I pray this, with everybody's eyes wide open, looking around, is there anybody here that has not received Jesus as their Lord and Savior? So you really can't celebrate you're born again because you're really not. You can't celebrate something you're not. So if you're not born again, please put up your hand and we'll all look at you. But we won't judge you. Do you know, I never said the public sinner's prayer, and for years I thought I wasn't saved. And then I'd gone to church for so many years, I can't do it because everybody thinks I am saved, but I struggled with for years, am I really saved? Am I really born again? Does God really receive me? And the Bible clearly says that when you're born again, you're born again. You're in the kingdom of light. But I struggled with that. So one time we were down in Disneyland, me and my kids, and it was at a meeting, and there was a thing, and if you want to go up for sit up to the public, and I thought, nobody knows me here. I am going up. And so my kids were all confused. Mom, aren't you saved? You've been going to church for years. Yes, but I have struggled. I never thought I was. So stupid. I thought it was a thing, you know? But no, I said, Jesus, come into my heart many times, over and over, with a person in private, by myself, through a TV. It took so many times of me saying it before I actually believed God accepted me. But God accepts you. Once you've been born again, it's a done deal. No devil or in hell, no thought or pattern can take it from you. So today, if you're not born again, if you want to be born again, if you don't want to struggle, are you accepted? Just stand up. We'll look at you, but we'll pray with you. Is there anybody in the house? Everybody's born again. So, woo! Thank you, Jesus. Okay, I just want to pray this prayer. May the God of peace, for this body here, right now, under the sound of my voice, who through the blood of the eternal covenant be brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of his sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in you what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. May he work in us what is pleasing to him. May he work in us what is pleasing to him. Because we have an eternal blood covenant. The blood of Jesus is sprinkled. What's her name? Woodward Edder. What's her first name? Maria Woodward Edder. Used to sprinkle the blood of Jesus all over the people that she spoke to. The blood of Jesus is powerful. I forgot about the blood. I forgot that I'm born again. But we have an eternal blood covenant. And we got to remind ourselves who we are in him. And when we go out and the world comes at us, we have one we go to. He's not far away from us because he says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. We can't disown him because it'd be like disowning ourselves. He's in us and we're in him. So I just thought maybe some celebration music and that we could just celebrate who the Lord is in us, that we're born again. And if you would like prayer, I'm willing to pray for you and anybody who Pastor Barry wants to pray. But let's just celebrate. Let's just have just a celebration. Amen.